If you're ready to lose weight, Noom Weight can help. Our weight loss program uses the latest in psychology and behavioral science to help you better understand your relationship with food and build long-lasting habits. And the best part is, you decide how Noom fits into your life. We won't tell you what you can or can't eat. Instead, we'll give you the knowledge and tools you need to make informed choices that fit your lifestyle. Start your trial at Noom.com/habit. That's Noom.com/habit.
Hi, and welcome to the Shoot From The Heart podcast with me, Diane Bell. If you want to write a script, make a movie, or quite simply live an abundant and creatively fulfilled life, you are in the right place. Each week I'll share with you tips, techniques, and real-world information that will inspire and empower you on your path. Thank you so much for joining me. I am rooting for you all the way. Let's do this. Hi there. Hi, beautiful and creative souls, filmmakers, screenwriters. How are you today? I am recording this podcast live today. I've just decided to do that because it's kind of fun. I'll try not to get interrupted by too many comments. So if you are here live, I'm just about to record the podcast. I probably won't answer too many comments until the end. I just want to get into a flow of the topic. And the topic today is how to do your best work, which I think is such an important topic for all creatives. And it's the million-dollar question, because unless we do our best work, we're probably not going to get the results that we want. So doing our best work is obviously what we're all here for, but it's not always so easy to achieve. And I was thinking about this week, because last week, I had the call with my students in the Write Your Screenplay course. And those calls are amazing. It's a Zoom call and we all get together and everybody shares their thoughts and what's going on, and they share their challenges and they share the things that are going well. And one person mentioned that, you know, she's just suddenly found her flow after months of sort of struggling and sort of resistance and trying different stories out and not really feeling them. She's committed to one and she's just said, it just feels great and it's amazing and it's exactly what I'm meant to be doing and I know it's the best work I've done. And she said the thing that really broke her through was this program that I did earlier this year called Unleash Your Creativity. And she said that just broke something open in me. And it was funny because I kind of intended Unleash Your Creativity a little bit as something that would be for people who are blocked, who are like completely stuck. She wasn't completely stuck. She had an abundance of ideas going on. So she wasn't blocked at all, right? That was not her problem. The problem was not being blocked, but the problem was not accessing her soul level work, was not accessing really the work she is here to do. And it made me think about this because I thought, so many of us, we might not be blocked in the sense that we're not creating at all. We might be creating work. But even though we're creating work, we might be feeling that sort of stickiness or stuckness, or just that sense that it's not really exactly what we want and it's not exactly what we're meant to be doing in some sense, and that it's not good enough. And sometimes, of course, we're just beating ourselves up for no reason when that happens. But sometimes I think there's something really real going on that we as artists, although we're showing up to the page or we're showing up to make our film or whatever, we're actually still holding ourselves back. We're not fully in it. We're not going all the way. And when I was thinking about this morning, I started thinking about this analogy of us being in shallow water. And I often have this sense when I'm working on a script myself where I feel like I'm just in the shallows with it. I haven't gotten the deep end with it. Does this make sense? I don't know if you've ever experienced that where you think, I know there's something great here, but I am not getting it. It's not on the page yet. This also happens, I've got to say, like on set or in the editing room when you're making a film and you're like, oh, this is not it. I'm trying to reach it. And it's like almost like you can see it in your peripheral vision, but you can't get it. And I want to really speak about that today and about how we can actually break through to our best work. Not that, you know, so if you're already creating things and you are in the flow of creation, but there's something about it that you feel is either missing, that you're not fulfilling your full potential, that's not the best work that you can do, that something is a little blocked. I would think of it a little bit too, like if you have a spice shaker We've all had those. The reason I'm thinking of this is because last night I opened a new one and I spilled it everywhere when I took the little plastic cap off with the little holes. And I think like our creativity, often like that's how we're like putting out our brilliance into our work, is like little tiny holes. And we need to wrench that off and just like pour it out. And that's not necessarily an easy thing to do. So going back to this analogy, you're in the shallows with your work. You know that there's something good there. There's a reason that you want to create this story, but you feel very much like you're in the shallows. And it's like, how do you get into the deep end? And obviously to get into the deep end, we all know, to go into the water where you cannot stand takes an enormous leap of faith. It takes so much courage. Okay, it might not take that much if you already know how to swim, but if it's your first time, I remember learning how to swim. I learned how to swim quite late in my life. I was 8 years old. I think I was eight, yes. And I think when I was when I first started to learn, because I grew up in Scotland for my first six years. And in Scotland, in Dumfries, in the 70s, let me tell you, swimming was not something we did a lot. You know, it was freezing cold and you didn't really bother going to the swimming pool. But then when my parents knew that we were going to move to Japan, which is kind of crazy, they said, okay, you need to get swim lessons. So they took me to the local pool to get swim lessons. And literally the teacher would stand at the side of the pool. She wasn't in the pool with you. And I was standing in the pool holding a floaty board. And she was shouting at me, pick your feet off the ground and kick, you know? And I was just like, I can't do it. I'm terrified. I was absolutely terrified to take my feet off the ground because I was certain that if I took my feet off the ground, I would sink and I would drown and I would die. And I just remember going there and I would just stand at one end of this pool holding this kickboard, utterly refusing to take my feet off the ground. I would sort of like walk across the shallow end of the pool holding my board, sort of maybe lifting one foot off and trying to make it look like I was kicking so that she would leave me alone. She wasn't very nice. And it was awful. And I would just get freezing and then I would get out of the pool at the end. I didn't learn to swim. I did not learn how to swim. And so I was thinking about this analogy with our own work. And I thought, so many of us, we want to swim, but we're doing exactly that. We're walking around the shallow end of the pool, holding a kickboard, pretending to swim. And to actually swim will take a huge leap of courage and faith, as well as some tools and techniques. And then we can actually really swim. And obviously, to really swim takes a huge risk, and that risk is that you drown. When I was making my first film, Obsolidia, there was a poem that I had pinned to my board. And actually it came to me partly because of, there was also a picture on my board. There was a picture of Man on Wire. Did you see that documentary? It was so amazing. Man on Wire is a documentary about this man, Philip Petit, I think is his name. It was an Oscar winning documentary that year. And Philip Petit walked from one building to another of the Twin Towers on a tightrope, on a high wire. And he spent years preparing for that, years figuring out how to do that and putting up this, you know, finding a way to, because he didn't have permission to do it, finding a way to put that high wire up and then walking between the two towers. And the movie is amazing. If you haven't seen it, Man on Wire, strongly recommend you check it out. And it so inspired me because I thought, oh my goodness, like he's going to risk his life. Like he risks his life to walk across these wires. He risks his freedom because he's totally breaking the law in setting this up. And for what? For what? For this moment of beauty, for this moment of poetry that could transform people's lives. If you think about it, you know, a moment of magic, right? That's what he risked his life for. And I feel like as artists, that's what we are being called to do. It's not up to us to play it safe. It's not up to us to keep our feet on the ground. It's not up to us. Imagine if he just put the tight wire, you know, between the first floor and the first floor. It's not a moment of magic. The moment of magic comes when it's hundreds of floors up off the ground. And so as creatives, I'm going to say to you today that like when you do your best work, you're going to be taking all the risks. And the poem that I had up on the board next to it, I had a picture of the man on wire and that image. And I also had this poem, and I actually pulled it out today before I came on here and I read it again. I'm not going to read the whole poem, but you can check it out for yourself sometime. Maybe I could put a picture of it on my Instagram or something. So if you want to see it later, it's a poem called Can you see that? It says, "Constantly Risking Absurdity." And it's by Lawrence Ferlinghetti. And it begins, "Constantly risking absurdity and death, whenever he performs above the heads of his audience, the poet, like an acrobat, climbs on rhyme to a wire of his own making." Now, you may not be a poet, you might be a screenwriter. You might be a film director, you might be a novelist, you might be a photographer, whatever it is. I would say this is the life of every artist, constantly risking absurdity. And I had this very strong sense of that when I was making my first film, because I thought, you know, the big fear, of course, is that you're making something which is absurd, which people will laugh at, which no one will understand. And it would feel like death to be completely mocked and derided for the work that you create. But unless we take the risks to make the work that really matters to us, unless we take the risks, all the risks, to go all in on our work, we're just basically putting up a high wire between the second floor of the building. And it's not that great. So the question then becomes, how do we actually take the risks? And what do I mean by that? I think for so many of us as creatives, we like to play it safe. As human beings, we like to play it safe. It's our nature. We like to stay with what is familiar. We like to do what we think will please other people. We like to give them what they expect or what we've already given them. And so there's all these different ways in which we play it safe as creatives. I had this awareness once. I was writing a screenplay called STEM, which was one of the most personal things I've ever written. It's about a woman who lives in America, a Scottish woman, going back to Scotland. And in this screenplay, you know, it's a family drama, and it's really about three women, about mother and two daughters and their relationship between each other. And I noticed in that script, what I was doing was every time it was going into a more dramatic scene and every time it was getting more serious, I would pull it back. I would just, like, you know, reverse and make some sort of joke. You can see that actually in my first film, Obsolidia. There's the same tendency that, like, things are getting a little heavy. Oh, let's just punctuate it with some humor. Now, I think there's something good about that, you know, like, because that's life. And I really do think that is life. Life isn't all dark or all light. There are these, like, within the darkest moments, there's hilarious moments usually in my experience. And in the funniest moments, there's often darkness. So I don't think it's, you know, one or the other. But I noticed that I was doing it to avoid the emotions that I find difficult to process. And I'm going to invite you today to think about yourself as a human being and to think about the things that you personally fear, the things that you personally abhor, the things that you personally avoid. I'm going to suggest to you that those things, your fears and your limitations, like, as a human being, will also correlate with your fears and limitations as an artist. And for me, for instance, like, I hate conflict. I'm one of those people. I grew up in a family. We never, like, there was never any shouting or fighting in my family. Everything was always very, you know, everyone's very calm. It's all passive aggressive, you know? So I think it's, like, very, very interesting to consider this. Like, what are your fears? For me, because of my fear of conflict, that was reflected in my writing at that time, whereby I would start to have a little bit of conflict, but then I would back away from it because I don't want to go there. I don't want to see these people being really messy. I don't want to have the big argument scene, or I don't want to have this kind of messy emotion. You might, on the other hand, be somebody that, like, loves the conflict but can't stand the silence. You might be somebody that loves, you know, action and being busy but can't sit still for a moment. Whatever it is, and I would just invite you, when you start to observe yourself, and if you can expand your concept of yourself, you will no doubt expand the work that you do. And for so many of us, like I said at the beginning of this, it's like a salt shaker, like with one of those spice shakers. We're sort of, like, blocking the flow of ideas. We're blocking the flow of the work with our fears and our limitations as human beings. And this is deep. I mean, this is not, I'm just going to say immediately, this is not easy stuff to delve into. You have your fears for a reason. You have the doors that you don't want to open in your own brain for a very strong reason, typically. And to open them in service of your art is not necessarily an easy thing or a comfortable thing to do. It means going to places that you don't want to go to. It means going to places that feel very uncomfortable to you. It means going to places that there is risk. And I think this is what I keep thinking about. If your work doesn't feel, like, risky in some sense, if it doesn't feel terrifying in some sense, if it doesn't feel like you are exposed in some sense, then I really question whether it is the best work you can do. Because the best work is always going to be outside of your comfort zone. Your best work will always be that work which just terrifies you to put out. That will be your best work. That's where you are walking on the high wire, on the highest buildings on planet Earth, right? That's you doing that. That's you risking death. That's you risking absurdity. And that's you doing it so that you can give a moment of magic to another human being on this planet who will connect with it, who will be elevated by it, who will be inspired by it, who will get it, who will be so grateful that you took that risk because they get to feel alive now and they get to feel seen and they get to feel more understood. So how do we get into that? How do we get into break through that level of our work? Because I'm telling you, when you break through that, that is when you do the work that hits home. When you play it safe and you keep it all nice, it could tick all the boxes. It can be structurally all sound. It can be well written. It can all be like nice and tidy and in a bow. But to me, this is partly the difference between the work that breaks through and the work that doesn't. And obviously the work that breaks through is a very small percentage. And I think the reason for that is because most people play it safe. Most people don't take the risks. Most people aren't willing to go there. Not for themselves and not for their audience. It's like, I'm just staying here because this is safe. This has been done before. And I know I won't be laughed at too badly for presenting this work. So I just go, take the risks. How do you do that? I think it's beginning... The beginning of it, in a way, is for you to observe and know yourself better and to expand your own consciousness. I know David Lynch, and I was thinking about him when I was thinking about what I would say today in this podcast. He came into my mind, and that book, Catching the Big Fish. And I wanted to read you a line from this because I think it's such a great line. He said, this is such a wonderful book, actually. This was given to me by one of my students, Nina, and it's amazing. If Nina sees this, thank you so much, or hears this, you're a star. I love it so much. I can't believe I didn't read it before. When she gave it to me, I was like, I can't believe I never read this. And I could circle every line in it now. But the thing that I want to share with you particularly was this. Little fish swim on the surface, but the big ones swim down below. If you can expand the container you're fishing in, your consciousness, you can catch bigger fish. I just love that. So how do you expand your consciousness? And this is what I said, your limitations as a human being, if you're living in a limited way, are going to make your work more limited. If you want to make like really expansive work, you need to expand yourself. The number one way that I know about doing this and the number one way that David Lynch knows about doing it, so we're in agreement, is meditation. It's meditation. There we go. It's always meditation, isn't it? I read that book by Joe Dispenza not that long ago called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. I don't know if you've read it. It's a brilliant book. Strongly recommend it. And he goes through all the science of how who we are is just determined by our habits and our past and all this. And he sets it up and explains so well the brain science behind it all. And, so you really get it. And it keeps building up to, but how are you actually going to be able to change yourself? And finally, it's like meditation. And it was just funny. I don't know why I expected anything different, but somehow I did. Because I was like, oh, yeah, it's meditation. Meditation is the answer. I think meditation is a huge part of it. And to people who are like, oh, I don't do meditation, I'm not interested in meditation, that's fine. I think there's different forms of meditation, different ways to approach it. It's not all just necessarily sitting, but I think that committing to inner reflection and allowing your consciousness to expand, to inner exploration, where you peel back the blocks that you have inside you. And this is what I said about like the work that we did in Unleash Your Creativity. I thought that course was all about, or those days were all about people who are blocked, period. So with the season, the spice jar analogy, people who've got the cap on completely, I thought it was for them. But what I have discovered with people who've written to me is that it wasn't. It was for the people who, they had the spice jar open, the cap was off, but it still had that little cover on it with the tiny little holes. So you're like shaking it and you're getting like three little grains out. And what you need to do is pull it off and pour it. And that program, there's a lot of meditation every single day. There's 21 daily lessons in it, and each one has a guided meditation. So if you're completely new to meditation, you can just drop into it and be in that space. And I think really like doing that work is absolutely essential if you want to break through, if you want to take your feet off the bottom of the pool and swim and take the risks. I know this is terrifying. I don't know if anyone here feels that fear in themselves. For me as a human being, when I was confronted with the limitations of my own work, I knew, okay, I have down the skills, I can do the thing, I understand the craft, all that. That's not what's missing. What's missing is the vitality, is the blood flow, is the pure energy from my heart, because I'm afraid to put that in, because I'm afraid that if I put that in, people will laugh at it, people will reject it, that it won't be acceptable in some way. So committing to, I've got a fly buzzing around me there, sorry. Committing to doing the work, to doing the meditation, committing to doing the inner work of getting to know your limitations, learning where the doors are closed for you in your own psyche and in your mind, and figuring out and feeling safe enough to open them, this is what will make the difference in your work. This is what will take it to that next level. We tend to think that it's like, oh, we need to learn another tool, we need to learn another craft, another aspect of the craft. To me, what is lacking for most screenwriters and filmmakers, and the reason that their work isn't, you know, catching the big fish, as David Lynch says, is quite simply because they haven't been willing to open those doors in themselves. They haven't been willing to expand themselves in that way. And they haven't been willing to take the risks then with the work that they're doing. The best work is always the work that is taking the risks. And there are no certainties. I just like to say there are no certainties when you do this. It's not like, oh, you take your feet off the ground and you will always float. No, sometimes a huge wave will come along and, you know, wipe you down, take you out. That's always a possibility. Constantly risking absurdity. When you're walking on the high wire between these two buildings, it's always possible that you do fall. It's not a given that you get to the other side. And that is a legitimate fear. It's not a joke in a sense. It's not like, oh, you take the risk and it'll always work out. It won't. I speak from experience. I've put my heart and soul in some projects and they haven't worked out at all the way I wanted. I've totally fallen into absurd, you know, where the work is not received well, where things don't go well. But what's the alternative? The alternative is work that doesn't even take the risk, that you're not putting yourself into, that you're not really, really growing through. And if you do that, you have no chance of ever, ever, ever reaching the levels that you want. I hope this has been helpful for you. If you're interested in going deeper into this work, if you're interested in actually doing this work and peeling back the layers and opening the doors in transforming and shifting your energy so that you can go deeper into your work and really create the work you were born to do, unleash your creativity. I'll put the link into the show notes so you can click there, or reach out to me at my website, dianebell.com, and I will send you the information. I hope you've enjoyed this week. I'd love to hear from you. As always, if you enjoy this podcast at all, if you would leave a review, that would be amazing. Otherwise, at Diane Bell, that's who I am at Instagram. Pop by, say hello, send me a message, screenshot this, tell me what you think. I love to hear your thoughts. I hope you're staying safe and well. And until next week, take care. I love you.